Are you going to do the countdown?
I don't have it.
All right, let's go ahead and get started with our final presentation. I've asked, fire safety always a big issue when you're handling the wood. Following with the insurance concerns, I think fire suppression, a lot more, I guess, that Kevin shared with us than I ever really thought about insurance, so that was a lot of information. But I asked Rick Saar from AKE Fire Safety to talk a little bit about fire safety for us as a topic that's near and dear to most of our hearts and something that you really can't learn enough about. So here you go, Rick.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. As stated, my name is Rick Saar, AKE Safety Equipment. We manufacture fire suppression in handheld portable devices as well as fixed system or automatic systems for all sorts of applications. But before I really kick off, I just want to give a thank you for Jim, Joe, and Shelly, who was a rock star momentarily when she got this set up for me. So thank you guys for the invite and coming out here. So what I'd like to do, you guys have been hearing stuff all day, and I'm not going to bring anything groundbreaking or revolutionary. You understand the issues that are going on. Obviously, with this first slide here, supply chain is kind of killing everybody. And so I want to talk about that and then how that links in with fire safety. But before I do, I'm just going to tell you guys a story. My grandfather told me long ago, if you're ever going to do a speech, you got to start with a joke. So it's kind of a joke, but it applies. I'm from Minnesota, which is why I talk funny. And I can't help it, just my accent. Up in Minnesota, we have a lot of Norwegians, and we like to tease our Norwegians about how we are not the brightest bulbs on the tree. So there was two Norwegians in Minnesota. They were farmers. And what they were doing is they were growing hay. And they sell hay. You know, you sell it for $100 a bushel, and out the door it goes. But that year, there was a shortage in Minnesota. However, over in North Dakota, production was grand. So a couple of Norwegians, Sven and Ole, they decide, had a brilliant idea, because Sven's just a little smarter than Ole is, and he says, hey, Ole, why don't we go over to North Dakota? Let's buy us some hay. And then what we'll do is we'll haul it back to Minnesota, and we can sell it to everybody. And he says, well, yeah, Sven, sounds like a good idea. Let's do this. So they buy a truck, they get their stuff together, and they haul off to North Dakota. They get over there, they load up, they buy 100 bushels for $100 a piece. They come back to Minnesota, and they sell all 100 bushels for $100 a piece. And then they went back again, and again. And about the third trip, again, Sven's a little sharper than Ole is. So Sven says, hey, Ole, I don't know if we're really making money. By the time we go over there, we get to Minnesota, we get $100,000, but, we go over to North Dakota, we spend $100,000, and, boy, if I do math here and try to figure out with the gas and all of that, I don't know if we're making it. And Ole says, well, that's a good point, Sven. You've always been the smarter guy. And he's like, well, Ole, but I don't know what to do. And Ole looks at him and says, well, we just got to make more trips. So, I'm going to link that to supply chain. Making more trips, doing what we've always done, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The environment and the dynamic of what we're faced with in today's economy forces us to do business differently. And so that's kind of where I'm going here with presentation today. I want to link that piece in and then obviously tell you the importance of fire safety and how that can be a benefit. So before I jump too far in on that, just real quick about me. I've been about a decade in fire safety. I got bit by the fire bug about 10 years ago. I've been in it ever since and absolutely love it. I've spent my time with AKE Safety Equipment simply because of who we are as a company. We are very much customer driven, customer first. We have started out with handheld fire extinguishers and developed all sorts of new products, innovative products that ultimately are protecting lives and livelihoods. So prior to that, some manufacturing background and that sort of thing. You guys, you don't need to, if you want to know about me, talk to me after, right? So I'm not worried about all that. AKE as a company, we started in 1989. Our focus has been agriculture, right? So right out of day one, we've been focused on farming. And within that, it's amazing the tentacles that agriculture has, because then the next thing you know, the farmer is saying, hey, how about this guy over here? He's doing, you know, mulch, right? Like, we get introduced to different areas. So ultimately, just through how we've grown as a company, is really the reason that we're here, is because the solutions that we have just make sense when there's fire risk, especially with equipment. So that's kind of a quick little backdrop. Again, if you want to know more about the company, be happy to talk afterwards. Andy is here. I know a lot of you guys talked to him yesterday as well. So, supply chain issues today. This isn't groundbreaking news, but when you really think about them, here's the impact that we've seen. Within our company, we have had lead times go to 4 or 5x of normal. We have standing purchase orders for 2 years, and they're saying, I don't know if we can fill it. That's a dangerous thing in our end, right? Because we provide a product, we're a manufacturer. So it's absolutely changed how we do business. We've always been like a just-in-time manufacturer, right? Keep a lean inventory, like lean manufacturing, keep your costs down, bring in the parts in, because none of it's really rocket science stuff, right? We have an aluminum canister that gets molded. Just produce it. But the lead times are getting so far out. We actually have responded to that and have ridiculous amounts of inventory. We're very old school in how we handle inventory now, because we can't be in a position to not be able to provide for our customers, right? To be able to provide our product. And when you think about the impact of this across the board with manufacturers, specifically with machinery. In agriculture, I know it extremely well, but I've heard the same thing with grinders and loaders and on down the line. You can't go down to Grinders R Us and just pick one up off the shelf, right? You gotta put the order in. We're hearing lead times, as an example, on harvesting equipment in the ag community. We're hearing lead times of 1.5 to 2 years for a new machine. And they need them. And they're not cheap machines. $1 million plus pieces of equipment, and they can't get them. So the availability of machinery is scarce. And obviously we're linking this with, well, we got to protect our stuff. Almost as scary is the used market is through the roof because you can't get new equipment. So now all of a sudden your costs on input are going way higher when it used to be, hey, I'm in a spot, let me just go do this. I'll get us in between until a new machine comes in if you need one. They're not available. And worse yet on that, what we're seeing across the board in all industries is the spare parts. So you have an issue with a machine and you're like, hey, I need this wiring harness that used to be $3,500 and is now $10,000 with a 9-month lead time. It kills you. Insurance, you guys just heard a talk on insurance. We're seeing more and more and more, not only the insurance companies putting a squeeze on you for fire protection, but some are even requiring it. Fire's a real problem and they see it, right? They're in business to make money. So let's force you to do these things. All of that being said, you guys all have a burn rate in your business, and downtime is what kills. So what can we do? What can we do to eliminate as much as possible our downtime? I pulled this up. I thought it's just an interesting kind of fact sheet. on some research that was done. In supply chain, 58.6% of companies right now are looking at omnichannel fulfillment. And so if you're a sole provider to a company, 58%, they're looking at, I need more than one vendor. Right? This is a real thing with supply chain. So being able to deliver on what has to happen for your customers is huge. 43% of small businesses don't track inventory. That blows my mind. I don't know how you run a business and not track inventory. But they don't even track it. Only 6% will report full visibility on their supply chain. They will actually be transparent with their customers and say, here's what we're looking at on timelines. And only 22% of the companies out right now have a proactive approach. So I'm thankful to say for our company, we do. We're very proactive. We see it coming. We see the things down the road. So we need to prepare now because we can't not deliver. Sorry for the double negative. So we've seen in the ag industry a huge, huge demand in making sure that we keep the equipment running. If it's not running, we're losing money. And in agriculture, it's even a little bit more because they have a very, very short window. So as an example, anybody across the South and quite a ways up the East Coast with cotton, there's a very, very narrow window to harvest cotton. And every day that's lost or one rain that hits in between harvest can degrade and makes all the difference from a really good year to a so-so year. And then sometimes we have things like this last hurricane and that can kill. So we're seeing this happen more and more and more. And right now, it is more important than it's ever been to keep equipment protected. Again, for all the reasons I've kind of walked through. If we can help eliminate downtime, keep you up and running, handle a fire before it's an issue, that's the ticket. This is what we're hearing from all of our customers in every industry. I was just in a cabinet shop, of all places, and they put one of our systems onto a UV oven because they said sometimes it gets locked up and then you get a fire in there. And if we shut down based on our orders, we're dead in the water and they're going to somebody else. So how have we responded? This is the team at headquarters in Rochester, Minnesota. I wanted to put this picture up to give you guys the idea. We're not a teeny tiny company, but we're not a huge company. We're in a position right now that we fight to hold on to. In being a small company, then we can be a cheetah in the marketplace. We don't want to be Apple. Right? We don't want to be rigid. Our customers come to us, and here's how we respond. They need solutions. And so we have a team of people who are all dedicated, and their hearts and souls are about protecting you. That's really what it comes down to when we start talking fire safety. We can talk about equipment. We can talk about saving money. We can talk about reduced downtime. All of those things, but ultimately, fire is a nasty thing that takes whatever it wants. And if there's a person involved, well, that's a game changer. There's no dollars on that, right? We can't assign that. So we have a team of people who that is our passion. In talking with our customers, here are the things that they're telling us. Regardless of industry, they're saying, I want something that will absolutely, unequivocally work when it needs to work. Some of you guys may have some fire suppression systems. I heard yesterday someone telling me about one, and he said, well, it looks good, and it kind of makes me feel better, but the fire always starts where the suppression isn't. Right? It's always burning in the wrong spot, or it's always somewhere else. or it just goes off all by itself, and then I got to call a service tech, which just creates downtime. What we're hearing from our customers is they're saying we need something that is absolutely reliable. It has to work when it needs to work. I don't want to mess around with having to bring some guy in or wait 6 hours for the service tech to show up or schedule it out a week later because the guy's so busy he can't keep up. I don't want to deal with any of that. Can you just give me something that I can take care of on my own? Give me something that's field serviceable. I don't need a service tech. I don't want it so complicated that I need to learn Mandarin to understand the directions. And so we responded with that, this automatic control unit. We call it the ACU. This is the start point of how we are answering the question, solving the problem that our customers are faced with. And so really what this comes down to, the technology in the control unit allows us total flexibility to handle whatever fire problem exists. We have sensors, and it's limitless. We've done IR sensors, flame detection, we've done smoke detection. There's heat wire, different temperature type sensors to simply alert, you got a fire. When that happens, it just feeds back to the control unit. This is the scenario. The control unit then, in turn, opens solenoids, releases agent, and we can run agent wherever you want it. And we don't have $5,000 heads on the end of our suppression systems that you have to replace every time there's a fire. It's hose and nozzles. We put the technology into the control. In addition to that, we can run independently three different zones. So this is very, very common that we hear often, is I'll have a piece of equipment and my concern of fire is in the engine compartment. That's my highest concern. However, it could go off here too. So we say, not a problem. Let's cover that area, give it its own sensors, its own setup, and we'll just call that zone one. And then the engine compartment, we're going to get covered this way, and that's zone two, or three, or on and on we go. So the point is, we can target the agent exactly where it needs to be. Or, if you just want to flood a machine, that's totally okay as well. I don't know if everybody saw the demonstration or had a chance to talk to Andy yesterday, but the agent that we use, we don't do foam, we don't do dry chemical. We're very against corrosion and damage from my fire suppression system. I don't want to make it worse. So the agent that we use is a blend of proprietary gases and literally leaves nothing behind. There is no mess. There is nothing to clean up. In part of the demonstration we were doing yesterday, when I have a little bit of agent, I pour it into the charging port of my phone. Doesn't conduct electricity, and it is the most effective agent available at eliminating flames. So I'll give you an example here. I got a kind of a video demo when we were doing some R&D on sensing technology and that sort of thing. I'll show you guys that. But before I jump to the video, the field serviceable piece. So we basically have canisters with gas on a quick release fitting, like an air chuff. That and the sensor itself is all that has to be changed. So if you have a fire, the sensor senses it. If it's a heat sensor, as an example, you just have to replace that sensor. Now that one's bad. That's on a quick connect fitting as well. You can do it right in the field, pop off the old can, pop on a new can, and you're back up and running. Obviously find out why the fire started, right? Like, don't fire it up and have it go again. But the point is, we can get you up and running as fast as humanly possible. This is an example here, kind of a social media thing that we put out.
Take a look at the all new Stop Fire ACU. Our comprehensive fire safety system can prevent total loss of your valuable equipment due to a fire-related incident. How does the Stop Fire ACU work? Here's a sequence of events that occur when the ACU is installed on your equipment. First, a sensor on the ACU detects the presence of a fire on your equipment. Second, the auditory and visual alarm system goes off, warning you about the detection of fire. The system comes standard with accessory shutoff options that can be connected to fan, fuel, or electrical systems. Third, solenoid valves are triggered to open, releasing Stop Fire Agent from the strategically placed spray nozzles across your equipment. Fourth, the fire on your equipment is extinguished, leaving no toxic or corrosive residue behind. In this video, the Stop Fire ACU is installed on a cotton stripper. However, it can be installed on a number of different applications, including combines, pickers, tower dryers, diesel engine rooms, server racks, and much more. Call us today or visit us online at ake.com for more information. Stop Fire, the world's best fire extinguisher.
So that, where's my, there it is. I was taught how to use mute to pause that video. So what you just saw, obviously, that's, you know, infomercial. That was on a cotton machine. But that setup can be replicated for anything. I have crawled around, you probably know the brand. I crawled all over a Morbark machine, right? Like, we got one with Andy up in, is that playing?
Yeah.
Oh. I'll start it back. So we can apply this, the technology, if you will, of the agent and the technology of the control, we can apply that virtually anywhere. Now, if there's a concern about, are we going to have enough agent? Is it going to get to where it needs to go and all that sort of thing? Anything that becomes more complex. I don't know how to stop this. There, I'll do that. We can cover all of it. We have a staff in our engineering department, and they would always be the ones to come back in custom applications to verify. Everything that we look at fire related is 4X safety. So if we need this, you know, let's just say one, you're getting four. That's how we do that across the board. So the question is, okay, I see the system, I got a general understanding of it, Rick, but what I want to do is I want to show you how it actually works. And that's what this next video is here. So this is in hyper slow-mo. We have some fuel in the bottom and some loose cotton. So the moment that it detected the flame, this is an infrared, basically like a flame sensing type of setup. The moment it saw the flame, it sprayed instantaneously. The moment the flame is gone, it stops spraying. So what you just saw with that canister could happen about 35 times before it's empty. So that's a beautiful thing. If we set it up that way,
it only sprays as much as
more often than not, what I like to do is just have the system dump. Right? If you have a fire, I just want to make sure it's out and I want to make sure it's not coming back. But in certain applications, we can have that start stop type setup. I'll give you the same video in regular speed just so you can get an idea how fast it is.
And lighter fluid,
lighter
on
fluid
cotton,
cotton as
yes.
Well as, yes. Technically, this is class D.
Woo!
Wow.
Perfect. I wouldn't even let it burn.
Holy shit!
check.
Well, told you we're a small company. So, apologies, I didn't know that was on there. But, right? So you get an idea how quickly we're going to be on that fire to make sure it gets eliminated. Other applications. Currently, there is no answer for, this is called the tall piece with the catwalk on top. It's called a tower dryer. So that they got corn running down the side of that, and they got a big Bunsen burner in the middle of it, and it dries out the crop. There is no answer for fire safety on these. There is no answer. And when they burn, it is a 100-foot tall blowtorch. It starts on the inside and it burns straight up. Most fire departments' response to this call is simply containment. They break out the truck and they spray everything around that operation except for the fire, and they just let it burn out because they can't get to it. They can't get enough water to it. There's not an answer. So this is just another example I wanted to show you guys on the types of things that we are willing to look at and explore out to make sure we can provide the right solution. And in this case, this is about a 14-foot diameter internally. We have like a halo type suppression system inside of there. But in the lower right-hand corner, you can see there's actually three bottles. We'll do a manifold. So all three of those bottles are spraying through one release point. And when you saw the speed at which we can sense the fire and eliminate the fire, what we're really doing is, instead of thinking the old way, just make more trips, we're thinking the new way. And we're really doing fire prevention through suppression. It used to be, for years and years and years, in all of the dry chemical handheld units out there, that is fire suppression. You have a fire, and I need to suppress it, and it is what it is. With the sensing technology, we are able to identify a fire when it's this big. Instead of having the fire be to the point that it may even be out of control before someone's trying to approach it. Personnel safety is huge on that. Machine loss and damage is doubly big. And depending on what you use to put it out, you can cause even more damage. So we wanted to eliminate all of those things. Since we're an ag company, I'll just end the slide on a picture of a nice old tractor. What I'd like to do, that's pretty much everything I have. What I'd like to do is, if you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy to address anything. I don't know if we want to do that through this format or if you want to catch me when we're finished up, but. Sure, yeah. Yeah, so it's a great question. It's actually pretty common because it's a gas, there's a concern there. So here's how I'll answer the question. Fire needs four things to exist. Right? You need heat, fuel, oxygen, and then there's a chemical reaction that's happening. It's like a chemical chain reaction that allows fire to continue to burn. With our agent, so the piece that you're talking about, the way our agent works is obviously the gas. That's going to help us with the oxygen, right? If we can push away the oxygen, the fire's out. However, the agent, when it comes out, is very, very cold. It's liquefied gas. So if you think like propane, of course, our agent isn't flammable, but propane, that's cold. Any gas that you put into liquid form. So the boiling point on it, to nerd out on you, is 29.6 degrees. So we're dealing with the heat, in reducing the heat, which is great for preventing reignition. The fuel source, as long as the gas is there, right, as long as the gas is present, we can insulate the fuel source. Three, when it goes across, there's the elimination of oxygen. And four, our agent actually interrupts, technically it's called pyrolysis, but it's interrupting the chemical reaction in fire. So the point in how I'm trying to answer your question, maybe deeper than you wanted, but I'm going here anyway, is we fight all four points. All four points that fire needs to exist, we deal with it. So if it's really windy, we're taking out three legs of the fire. And I do have, Andy, maybe you can get him a video. I have a 30-mile-an-hour wind and put out a hay bale, a big round bale. We let it burn for about 2 minutes. That's a nightmare to put out. I have that on video if you'd like to see it. Yeah, so we've been pulled into some different industries over the course of time. Our handheld units are right on the cook line at Bush's Baked Beans. Right, it's non-toxic, non-corrosive. They spray a dry chemical extinguisher in there. They're shut down for days. So we'll do that. Andy actually has a customer in a large sawmill where we do some stuff with preventing fire in like the dust collection, that sort of thing. Fuels is actually our long suit. A Class B fire is miraculous always, but on a Class B fire, it's mind-boggling how well it works.
Yep.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So what we do is the system is standard, right? It's like, this is how it works. How do we want to sense the fire? The application is custom. So obviously, if there's a machine model that we cover, right, we're going to look at it, figure it out. This is the best way. The nozzles can be anywhere from, we've done single nozzles, typically with this level of protection. There's probably 4 to 8. You know, it's pretty typical. But really, it's application driven. Right? We're going to look at it. We're going to work with the customer. What's your experience been? Have you had fires on this thing? Yep, one time here and one time here. And, you know, it's a crapshoot on where it's going to start. Okay, how much of it do you want to cover? And if you say cover all of it, that's okay. We'll sell you more. We'll cover it up. But... No, so typically on any sort of mobile equipment, we typically do temperature. Yep, more often than not. And we can go anywhere from about 145 degrees up to 500 degrees. So if we're in an engine compartment, yep, we're going to find out what's the operating temp of that area, and then we're going to set it just above. You know, not so low that you get an accidental deployment. But if it's something out in the middle, it's out in the open, and there's a lot of air movement, we might do a 145-degree sensor there. Because, again, the worst enemy in fire is time, so the faster we can get at it. But that's super reliable stuff versus IR in a dirty environment. Now you got a 2-3 times a day maintenance item. But we just, yeah, we'll look at the application and make sure that we cover it right. That's a loaded question. So, if I would say, so I climbed around on a grinder. That setup, 18,000. Yep, be right in there. So that's a great question. Andy was just talking to the guy who was speaking here prior. Insurance is a fickle mistress. There's no national coverage, right? Like, we can't get like a national agreement because they're kind of independently operated, maybe one state, maybe a couple of states. So what I can speak to is all of our customers always go ask your agent. So I can say in Texas, on a cotton picker, it's $15,000 a year to insure it. If you put our system on, they reduce it by $8,000 a year. That's yeah. There's, depending on how they do it, sometimes the insurance companies are asking for that. Sometimes they're not. you know, it kind of comes down to each insurance company. I know in Georgia, we are across the board. So Farm Bureau in Georgia has an automatic 5% reduction if you have our handhelds, and they do 15 to 25% reduction on equipment, depending on the model. So it's really just approaching the insurance company. Sure. So great question. Our largest unit, we call it the high capacity. I'd kind of figure it this way. If you were standing inside of an old phone booth, right, and you dump that whole thing completely sealed, no ventilation, you're going to have a bad day, right? It's, you know, I can smell propane, but I'm not going to put my mouth on the nozzle, right? So I want to answer your question first, just up front. So 164 cubic feet, right? That whole can. The good news is first aid is fresh air, right? It's just a gas. Now, if I'm in that exact same environment and I dump a 10-pound dry chemical, completely sealed, no ventilation, and I don't get out of there, I'm going to have a bad day. The difference is first aid is now the ER because it's a particulate and it's coated my lungs, right? Huge huge issue in the equine. Like they hated their horses. 2 weeks later, all of a sudden they're not making it because, you know, horses don't know how to clear their throat. So if you don't do either one and you let the fire burn, well, now you're guaranteed to have a bad day. So in my opinion, about the safest thing that you can use in a confined space next to water. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yep. I think Andy has a... Andy, you're trying to say something?
I was just going to say, have you guys seen how this actually works? Like, has everybody seen a demo of how a stop fire works on fire? I think that might answer some questions. If you just do a quick demo.
Sure. Cool. Yeah, I can... I'm all for lighting fires in public places. I'm gonna see. I'll just talk loud. Can you guys hear me at this volume? All right. Should have done that the whole time. I feel more comfortable at this voice. So this is something that we do as this is kind of standard, if you will, in explaining the product. So it's just lighter fluid. Get that set. I think I can do this pretty fast. So that's the agent, right? Still in liquid form. You probably can't see from here, but it's bubbling. It's boiling off. And now from this distance, hopefully you can see, if you look at the edge of the glass, you can see the vapors coming out. I don't know if it's just too far away. But that's actually what puts the fire out. Now in a system, we're spraying 100 PSI, right? It's coming out right out of the gate. It's in liquid form. It very quickly is evaporating, especially when it gets to the heat of fire. The advantage, one of the biggest advantages of gas is fire, in order to burn, think about it like it breathes, right? It's taking in all the oxygen around it. So if you have a fire that's up under a panel or behind a pulley and you don't have direct access to it, you can't spray it. right? You can put 50 pounds of dry chemical on it, but you can't get to the base of the fire. This can put that fire out. And so the demo is what's going to really kind of show that. So you have a fire, and you just got to get it close. Yes, sir. Yep, I didn't dump any of the liquid in. Then, I said as long as the gas is present. As long as that gas is there, it's not going to reignite. The good thing, you'd ask me about when. Let's say it does blow off, right? And the fire reignites, because the lighter fluid's still there. It's not a problem. It's going to work just as good the second time. And at the end here, I'll do it this way. So this is my phone. It actually works, right? It's not a dummy. And here's my charging port. Doesn't conduct electricity, didn't leave any residue behind. Obviously, I just sprayed it all over my hand, which some people think. I comb my hair this way to cover my third eye. Just kidding. I put my finger in here. It's gone. It just evaporates. There's nothing left. It does expand 1,700 to 1, so I'm not going to drink it. I'll tell you that. Right? Very high expansion rate. We had a guy used to work for us, retired last year, and I will just say that Steve was robust, and so he'd always, that was his line. He says, well, you know, I wouldn't drink it, although I put a thimbleful down every morning to maintain my figure. What's that? Oh, lighter fluid, sulfur, and smoke. Nope. Great question. So one of the things when we went through the that video that was kind of introducing, here it is on a cotton picker, right? We have an accessory line out that will just provide signal. So basically, if you think of any technology that exists, we can link it to the system. So if you want an automated dialer, hey, when that system goes off, I want my cell phone to ring. Done. We can do that. We had I forget who I was talking to, a gentleman. We have a customer in Georgia and Carolina, I think. Abbeville. You guys probably are familiar in the industry. Abbeville Fiber. They run loaders, right? And they're saying, hey, like, you know, when we get to the grinder, like that's where the fire's at. But I don't have anybody manning it. It's the guys on the loaders who see it. And we said, okay, so what we did for them is we got all on one channel, for lack of a better term, push button manual release. So every loader has the fire button that'll activate the system on the grinder. So we didn't think of that. Customer asked, hey, can you this? I don't know, probably. Let's figure it out. Right? So we can kind of do anything. You won't always like the price, but we can do about anything.
Would you do another demo?
I don't mind a bit. It's kind of fun to watch, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get yelled at from Andy for using all his agent.
No.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So can I jump in on one thing?
Certainly, Andy.
What you just saw, obviously, is the gas expanding out when you spray this. It comes out as a liquid, and then it turns into a gas.
not having to recharge them.
Yeah, that's a great point, Andy. And they're also refillable.
How do you know when it's done?
When, because you'll...
Yeah.
So here's how I recommend it. I mean, one, you'd feel it, right? So if you ever want to know how much is in it, weigh it. Nobody weighs it. The way I look at that multi-use, now we have an extinguisher that we built in 1991. There's about this much left in it, and we traded a farmer for it about 6 years ago because there's about this much left in it. It saved two pieces of equipment for him. We just gave him a brand new one and zip-tied that thing so it never gets sprayed. But the thing's like 30 years old. This much left in it, 100 PSI.
Your shelf lifetime guarantee?
Nope, lifetime guarantee. So I don't care if you guys run it over. Please don't run it over. But if you did, we're going to give you a new one. We default to the customer. So to answer your question, like, how do I know when it's empty? My recommendation is always, you know, Andy said it, hey, I got a fire, a couple shots, you know, I still got a bunch in here and I'm in the middle of stuff right now. Put it back on the bracket. But then at some point, like sooner rather than later, just give us a call because we only charge you for the agent that goes back in and the freight's on us. It's legit, it's free for you to send it in. So if you buy a high capacity and you use half of it, well now you don't have a high capacity anymore, right? So I always recommend just refill them. Don't run them down to empty, you know. If you do, okay, but when I reach for a fire extinguisher, there's one rule in fire. There's no such thing as too much fire extinguisher. So I want it as full as possible always. On a mulch fire? You're talking like a big, like on a pile? So it can. On a mulch fire, what you would experience is it would immediately knock out the flames. Immediately. And if you got embers and all of that, and you don't break it up, it's going to relight. Right? Because we don't have smothering, you know, it's not a smothering agent. So if I had my choice on 30 yards of mulch on fire, I'd use a fire truck. I'd go water on a Class A like that. Nope.
Any other questions?
Great. Hey, you guys were awesome. Thanks for good questions.
Thank you. Where did I get one?
That man right there will hook you up.
So
yep.
I was going to say, make the actual deal.
Yep. Always, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And again, as you know, you lose a piece of equipment today. It's not only the equipment you're losing, but the delay in getting the next piece and all the productivity you're losing. That's very expensive.
So, amen.
I want to thank you all for coming. And this is our last presentation for the day, but we're going to have a president's reception. The president's reception is in the main foyer down the escalator. Once you go down to see it, it's all set up in the main area. But it's not in the ballrooms here, it's down the escalator. And we invite you to come and enjoy some drinks and hors d'oeuvres at the president's reception, sponsored by Social Mark Media. Okay?
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don't forget your phone.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for all the help you gave us.
Thank you. Excellent.
I got a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
What if big giant football field size piles of mulch? What if you had, say, a sensor and a hose of your material in the middle of the piles, strategically placed around to sense temperature raises, that kind of stuff, And then kind of catch it as the piles are too high. The, and kind of, you know what I mean?
Are the piles outside?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's wide open. There's no...
Yeah. We're talking like multiple different... Yeah. Because what happens is the pile, you know, obviously are they're too big. So mm-hmm. they'll periodically combust, and then we got to dig them out and smother them and go through that whole process.
You don't know when it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like it's smolders and smolders.
Until you start digging into it.
Right.
But my thought... Yeah, exactly.
And then, so then you get somebody with a loader, and they pull it up, and all of a sudden, whoosh.
Yeah, and then it goes whoosh. Yeah.
So
what if you essentially had your system except the sensor and the, you know, dispersal point in the pile, just randomly placed in spots throughout the pile?
It still needs to be able to infiltrate the pile.
Yeah.
Gas.
Right.
That's part of the problem.
Yep.
Okay.
It's hard.
So you couldn't have like a hose like down in there.
It's gonna go out.
Okay.
You know, it's gonna be very limited. Yeah. I was thinking you could use a torpedo tube.
Yeah.
To lance it in.
Okay.
And pull it out.
We have that in cotton seed.
Okay.
They have big seed houses. Same issue.
Oh, okay.
Exact same. Just different stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's actually exactly what they did. They have our handheld unit.
Yeah.
And they said, can you give us something to screw onto?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what are you thinking? And they have about a 12-foot long probe.
Yeah.
They have that, and then they have...
Here's the only one to be about 125
feet. So here's...
Legally 10 feet.
Here's a solution. Here's a solution that they came up with.
Yeah.
Is they have on the loader. They're like, that's when we see it, and that's when there's flames.
Yeah.
As long as we get the flames out, like we can deal with the, you know, charred crap and whatever.
Yeah.
Like we can deal with that, but if that first big hit of flame. So on the bucket, they actually across the top, they have like four nozzles that runs back to a canister in the cab.
Okay.
And on the bottom of the canister, it's a valve.
Okay.
It's completely manual.
Yeah.
But it's a way to deliver agent. So when they're scooping stuff up, if all of a sudden they pick up and the fire pops up on them, they just turn the bucket down and go and knock the fire out.
But you still have the embers.
You still got to deal with that.
They're only suppressed while the gas is still there.
Right.
Or and how long will it stay there?
Right. So depending on all the scenario. But the biggest thing is, let's get the flame out.
Yeah.
And then when you turn that on, it's going to spray continuously for, like, that system, I think it sprays for like 50 seconds.
Okay.
So it's enough time that, okay, hey, grab this, get a fire extinguisher in my hand, let's, you know, start digging this stuff out before it turns into something worse.
Yeah, but we're talking about potential gas.
Sure. Yeah. So I'd have to look, right? I'd have to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, some of our valves that we are aging on are natural and are about as big as this one. And some of the dyed stuff gets bigger during the season. And what will happen, like I said, is, you know, you get a hot spot in there, you won't notice it until spring when you start flipping. So, you know, my thought process is, you know, if we could have your sensor system do that all on its own, where it sensed the, you know, the temperature got to a point and then
one thing that I could look at, and I'll make sure you get Andy's card.
Yeah.
One thing that we could look at is we do have gas detection.
Yeah.
So before a fire starts, whatever the material is, technically it's called off gassing, and it releases energy.